one hand out. Both of them are just part of what's going to happen. One handout is some of the slides that I'll show, and the other handout are some definitions. So maybe you can use that. I'll try to call your attention to when we get to a particular handout, assuming I remember. Let's pray. Father, I feel humbled to be before this group. This is your children, Lord. This group is your children. And I'm supposed to tell them some things about where the Bible came from, about how your Holy Spirit has directed that process using feeble human hands. And now you're using my very feeble human hands to try to convey the idea of where the Bible came from to these folks. I'm humbled by that, Lord. I'm humbled. Give me the words you want said. Let these folks hear what you want them to hear. Let your Holy Spirit guide this class like He's guided the whole process of getting us the Bible. And Lord, the Bible is about Jesus. I don't know how to say that any more plainly. The Bible is about Jesus. The whole thing from Genesis through the last of Revelation is pointing toward Him. That's why we have the Bible, so that we can learn about Jesus. That's the whole story in a nutshell. So, Father, guide us to the class. Guide me as I lead the class. And thank you for Jesus. I pray in His name. Amen. So what do you think of this verse? What do you think? Do you believe it? Take a minute and read it. Read the verse. 2 Peter 1:3. I'm just going to do everything wrong to start with. Let's have a show of hands. How many of you believe this verse? Okay. Good. So let's talk a little about this verse, okay? Well, I didn't get very far, did I? Who is his? Well, let's cheat. Let's let the Bible answer the question. Go back to verse 1 and 2. Open your Bibles. I know. Some of them are paper objects. Okay, open your Bible and go back to 2 Peter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, if you happen to have an electronic Bible, it's okay. Open it up to 2 Peter 1, verse 1 and 2. Remember, we're trying to find out who his is. Simon Peter, I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible, okay? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's interesting. Remember, we're trying to find out who he is. Okay? So there's another one needs handouts back there. Verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Then, verse 3. Who is his? You said, but she said the Trinity, okay. Who is his? I'm not arguing with you, I'm just, okay. God, somebody said God. Okay, that's good. You know, if you're in a Sunday school class and the teacher asks a question, you can almost always get away with saying Jesus. I mean, you can get away with that. You may not be right, but you don't usually get scolded for saying Jesus in a Sunday school class. That's usually all right. So he is here. You need to read that and decide who he is, but somebody divine. We've had Trinity, we've had Jesus, we've had God. Anybody want to guess the Holy Spirit? Okay. His divine power has given us everything we need. Well, that's neat. Everything we need for what? Life and godliness. His divine power is his, whoever he is, is. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. How do we get this everything we need for life and godliness, life and godliness? How do we get that? Through what? Oh, it's right there, guys. You can read it. It's okay. Geez, look at the crib notes. Through our knowledge of him. Who is him? Are we back to that? Okay. One of those divine folks, or all three of them, or something. Okay. Whoever you want to interpret it as. Who called us? By his own glory and goodness. Folks, we've got everything we need for life and godliness through our... We're getting there. All right. So the subject for tonight is how we got the Bible. The Bible. I've used a new word there. Let me go ahead and define it. Bible. That's this thing. You can't see it, but it says right there. What? Holy. Good. What's Bible mean? You can call it book. You can call it library. Because it has in it books. Somebody says, I don't like books. If you're used to it, you got a handful of them. Anybody want to guess how many books are in this Bible? We'll get there. Okay. So what you see is Sharon's Bible. And it's neat to me because she bought this Bible. It has wide margins. You can write it. You know, when I was a boy growing up, there was an 11th commandment. Thou shalt not write in your Bible, boy. Sharon knows better than that. She takes notes. It's so neat to me. She'll be sitting in her chair, and she's got this quilt all snowed up. She's got that Bible, and I see her, and she's reading her daily Bible reading, or just reading her Bible, and she's making notes. You can see. This Bible has been rebound 3 times or something. Okay. We even had some folks who were not members of the Church of Christ rebound it one time. Now, there's something I want you to see. Sharon loves to sing, and if you look right there, you see that? Guess what that is? It's a little music note. When a verse reminds her of a song she knows, she writes in her Bible. She takes notes, and I love it. But when I was growing up as a boy in a little Church of Christ tradition congregation, the Bible was King James Version. The Bible was King James Version. And as I grew up a little more, there started to be something I heard about. Well, there's different versions of the King James Version. And I thought, what? That's the book I don't write in. And then as a boy still, I learned that there's a Revised Standard Version. Yeah. And then I learned that there's an American Revised Standard Version. This is blowing my brain as a boy. And then the New International Version debate raged. Y'all remember that? It's okay if you don't. You don't need to know that. But the New International Version came on the scene and people said, ah, that's heretical. It's not the King James. And it's not the Revised Standard. It's not the American Standard. So then, I went in the... Well, first though, after all this started, I learned about a little booklet that Neil Lightfoot from Abilene put out. Little booklet about how we got the Bible. Man, I called up Abilene. Called them. You had to do that back then. We didn't do this back then. We called. And I got a copy of that booklet and I devoured it. How We Got the Bible by Neil Lightfoot, professor at Abilene Christian. Wow. And I thought I had done, listen to this one. I thought I had done due diligence. Y'all heard that? Due diligence. That means you read and studied. And I really felt good about that. But I kept using my King James Version. And then, before Sharon and I moved to Oklahoma, where I was a full-on, no kidding, youth minister, I came across in a used bookstore. Used bookstores are good places to find Bibles, by the way. Don't know why that is. I came across a New King James Version. Ah, New King James Version, okay. Well, so I got one. Since I was going to be a youth minister, I figured I needed something new with kids. I got me a New King James Version. Then in Oklahoma, an Islamic buddy said, Ed, the Bible's been contaminated by Christians and Jews. My Islamic buddy said that. He said, but the Quran has not been contaminated by Christians or Jews. So, I forgot to tell you, while I was in the Navy on a submarine, a buddy and I talked, he was a Latter-day Saint, a Mormon. We talked about this Book of Mormon, and he said, we Mormons believe in the King James Version. Insofar, now get this, we believe in the King James Version insofar as it's been properly translated. Okay, we ran out of something to talk about pretty quick, but my mind's working. So then I stumbled across a copy of the English Standard Version. And I did something different this time. I opened it up to the front, and right behind the table of contents, try this in your Bible. Have y'all got paper Bibles, somebody? If you got a paper Bible, open it up. It's okay, you can do that. It makes noise. It goes rattle, rattle. And right behind the table of contents in this little Bible, it says preface. It does. Does yours say preface? Really, it does. Does it say preface? Yeah, okay. And I read the preface. Has anybody in here ever read the preface? Well, I won't ask. Read the preface. So I read the preface of the English Standard Version. Learned a lot, but I was lost as a goose because there was a bunch of words in there that I thought, what is that? We'll talk about that a little more later. I'm going to put some of that on the screen a little later. But I read the preface. So it was about 2002 or something. I did myself a little study at home, and I did not tell Lauren Weishart. I did a little study at home on how we got the Bible and thought I had really done good. And then recently, probably 6 months ago, a little farther back, I began to find out that a lot has been learned about the history of the Bible in the last years, recent years. A bunch has been learned. Manuscripts have been found, and it's just computer technology. I'm going to show you some of this stuff as we go along. They can unroll scrolls without touching them now. I'll show you a video of that. For you NASA guys, you're going to love this. I'm not a NASA guy, and I just ate it up. So, I did make the mistake of telling Lauren that I'm doing this study, and he said, oh, goody. Lauren never forgets. Where is Lauren? He never forgets. In my prayer earlier, I said something about this is Holy Spirit led, and it is. It is. I'm going to open up the Bible and show you verses. This is Holy Spirit led. How we got this Bible to us today is incredible. If you tried to figure out the odds of this happening, it would not happen. The Holy Spirit has led the Bible to us. It's incredible. Well, there's a professor that I've learned to like his teaching a lot. His name is Tim Mackey. He does the videos that you've seen some of where it's on the screen with the little cartoon characters. He's the guy that does those. He talks about nerding out on this kind of stuff. Me. That's me. Just completely a nerd about it. And it's fun. It's neat. But it's messy. It's messy. It's not simple how the Holy Spirit went about getting the Bible to us. But I learned that Holy Spirit being messy makes sense. Give you an example. When the Coon family adopted Clay and helped Randy, Sarah, yes. When the Coons adopted those two children, that was the awfulest mess I ever saw. Do y'all remember that? Gary, where's Gary? Connie, do you remember what a mess that was? She's going, uh-huh, and where did you see Rylan? When the Holy Spirit's involved and he's letting people do things for him, oh, man, it makes a mess out of it. But when you get it all done, it just makes so much sense. That's how we got the Bible. The Holy Spirit has done it. He's let people work on it. It's like little kids messing up stuff. And then it just all makes sense. It blends together and it's there. So, how we got the Bible, and that's a little bit of preliminary stuff. Now, what I'd like to do is tell you some things from my heart, okay? This is from me. I really believe this book contains information that points me to Jesus. I really do. I'm not trying to prove the Bible to you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to prove God exists. You go do that on a different study. This book contains information that leads me to Jesus. And if I read about him, learn to love him, do my best, follow him, I'm going to be real comfortable when I get to see God. You ever thought about that? When you get to see God, how are you going to feel? There's a song about it. Will I be able to even stand up or whatever? I don't know. I'll be comfortable if I just take what this does and let it lead me to Jesus. Now, if this book points me, somebody, let's turn to Matthew. Everybody turn to Matthew 28, 18. Go for it. Let's let the Bible say this stuff. So what is the context here? Well, Jesus has died and resurrected, and this is what's called the Great Yeah, y'all are good. That's good. Great commission. And he says, verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go there and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them, and you know the rest of that. Who or what has all authority? What did it say? This is Sunday school. Jesus, okay, y'all got it. All right, Jesus has all authority. Now, I don't want this to sound mean or rude or anything, but no paper object has authority. Because Jesus said he has how much authority? All of it. Is this book valuable? Does it have the right information? Yes. 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 The Holy Spirit led me to have this book in my hands. But Jesus has authority. Okay? I can write in this book. It's okay. All right. And I love the one to whom this book points. I really do. I've heard people say, I love the Bible, and I know what they mean. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right for them to say, I love the Bible. I know what they mean. I really don't love something made out of paper or digital bits. I love the one it points to. That's who I love. That's who I love. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it over and over and over. The book exists because the Holy Spirit wants it to. The Holy Spirit wants it to exist. And we're going to look at Luke 1, verse 2 pretty much, pretty soon, okay? But it talks about being servants of the Word. We're going to look at that. See what servants of the Word means. All right. Now, when we study the history of the Bible, remember I said there's people involved? Anybody remember that? It wasn't 5 minutes ago. Can you, this means yes, and means I ain't got a clue. Remember, I said people are involved. The Holy Spirit uses people to bring this book. Okay? And people make little mistakes. We're going to talk about mistakes and variants. Some people say errors. I don't like to say there are errors in the Bible. I prefer to say variants. It's okay if you want to call them errors. They are. But not one of the variants make the slightest difference in God's salvation message. Not one variant makes a whit of difference about God's salvation message. You can bet your salvation on that. You can bet your eternity on that. This book will get you to heaven by Jesus' authority and His power. I won't say it again. I can't say it enough. I am going to show you some errors, some variants in the Bible. Not one makes the slightest difference in the Bible's message. If it did, the Holy Spirit would have gotten us something else. Can I hear somebody say amen? Where's Gary? The dude is, where is he? He needs to be in my class. Man, I have to sit through his life talk. Man, Connie, tell him that. All right. Now, I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit leads us, variants and all, to Jesus. Can it be plainer what I believe about that? So when you hear me say something sounds a little strange lately, or when as we progress, I believe this book leads us to Jesus. Okay? Variants and all. Now this is my thinking. I did not get it vetted or blessed or approved or whatever. Lauren has not seen what he's cringing back there. This is my work. My study of how the revelation of God has been transmitted. Now, this is some important wording here. Has been transmitted from its having been spoken and or written to today. I'm going to take you through several ways how the Bible has been brought to us. We'll see that a little later. It's spirit-guided history, joint effort between God and man, the good news of Jesus the Messiah. All right. Now, in the interest of transparency, I don't know. I'm going to teach you a couple of Greek words. Here we go. Ready? Say the word alpha. Ah, come on. Okay, let's try the other one. Say the word omega. That's better. Y'all like the end better than you like the start. That's good. I like it. All right. That's how much Greek I know. I was hoping Ben Clark would be here tonight because he knows a little bit of Greek way more than I do. Hebrew language. I don't know any Hebrew either much. I've learned a word, Adam. Y'all ever heard the Hebrew word Adam? Ah! If you pronounce it Adam, it's somebody's name, right? If you pronounce it Adam, well, we'll get to that. I don't want to steal my own thunder. So now, let's practice a Hebrew word so y'all will learn something tonight. Let's say Adam. Why'd you say it so quiet? Oh, well, whatever. Now, that's how much Greek and Hebrew. And I don't know any Aramaic. Well, yeah, I do, too. What did Jesus say on the cross? What did he say? That's good, man. And what language is that? Anybody want to guess? Aramaic, okay. I said, I know a little bit of these foreign languages. Yeah, okay. All right. Now, something I don't like. I ran into a guy one time who had a Greek course in college. And he was trying to tell me all about these translation errors. And I'm thinking, well, you know, a committee of real smart people translated this thing, and you're telling me you know more than they do. Well, okay, whatever. So I don't have a lot of patience with that. Now, here it is again. I told you I'm going to say it. Earlier I said that Holy Spirit's been involved. Believe it. Holy Spirit's involved in getting us this thing. All right, here's the plan. We're going to do introductory stuff for a couple of nights. And I don't have a clue how long, because this is a brand new thing. And I have 6 hours to tell you 3,500 years of history, but there's no pressure. No pressure. We're going to look at the Hebrew scripture, how it was written, collected, and passed down. The Christian scripture. I like saying Hebrew scripture rather than Old Testament. Now, you'll hear me say Old Testament. You'll see my slides. I'll have Old Testament. I just like Hebrew scripture. I like that. I don't know why exactly. Christian scripture, I like that. New Testament. Canon. This is a bunch of pirates on ships with sails, right? With cannon. No. One end in this cannon. It's only half loaded. That was bad. And then we're going to look at translations and something about them, and then more of the story. That's a never-ending story. By the way, a news article came on about a week ago about two new Dead Sea caves have been found. Well, that's fine. They have. You know what they found in it so far? A broken pot and a blank scroll. So anyway, we'll get to that too. More of the story. All right. So why learn this? Why learn this? What for? My Mormon buddy said, we believe the Bible insofar as it's been properly translated. I didn't know what to tell him. My Islamic buddy said the Bible's been contaminated by Christians and Jews, but the Quran is good. I know what to tell him. I don't know how to answer. I'll never make that mistake again. The back of the Quran that guy gave me, I've got notes in it where I've read the thing. Okay? In the Book of Mormon, same thing. I'll never make that mistake again. Sharon and I were in a hotel in Tokyo, Japan. The Empress Hotel. And we picked up a book that the Gideons did not put in that hotel. Y'all ever find a Gideon's Bible in a hotel? This is the Japanese, I guess, version of the Gideon's Bible. It's the teaching of Buddha, written in Japanese and English. I read parts of this thing in English. I don't remember if I got all the way through it. Made some notes. I will never, why I learned how we got the Bible. Why I learned. Remember, that's the context for right this minute. I will never make the mistake again of not knowing how this Bible came to be. I will know that answer. I will never make that mistake again. Another reason for learning what we're doing here is because of that verse. This book contains everything I need for salvation. I need to know about the book, the library called the Bible. Why learn this? Well, there's another reason why I want to get you to learn why we got the Bible. And her name is Jamie. On November 4th, Sharon and I were in Three Forks, Montana, and we went and sat in church assembly by Jamie. She had turned 100 years old the week before. And man, she put me to shame. When that preacher was spouting out Bible verses, she had them. I mean, look at that old hand. How is she turning that Bible so fast? Miss Jamie was trying her best all her life to learn what the Bible says for salvation. Miss Jamie knows about the Bible. That's another reason to learn it, so you'll know it. Okay, now there is another very important reason for you to learn this. If you enjoy all six sessions, you will earn the title. You will be given the title of Bible nerd. Okay? Now, that's impressive. And it will be for outstanding in performance in biblical nerddom. Okay? You get this title. That's a highly coveted title for you to get. Now, it's a reason for you to learn the Bible. Okay? You got that? You got to be here all the time. And you have to bring your handouts back. I don't know if you noticed, but you got color handouts. Pat printed you color handouts. Look at mine. But you have to bring your handouts back in order to be awarded this coveted Bible nerd title. And somebody important will sign it. It'll be in digital form. We won't print paper. Okay, so why do we need a Bible anyway? What's the purpose? Just why? We need a Bible for revelation. Wow, what did I just do? We need a Bible for revelation. Okay, fine, good. Back of the book, There it is, Revelation, right there. It says so. Okay, that's kind of what we're talking about, but that's just a little of it. We need the Bible for revelation. God reveals himself to us generically through nature. What I mean by that, when I go out and see the sunset, man, no, not man, I don't think about man, God. When I see the sunset, I think about God. I just do. Somebody made the sunset and made the colors. What an artist he is. God reveals himself to us generically through nature. He does. Let's find Romans 1:20. Go get it. Romans 1:20. No pages rattling over your all digital. Romans 1:20. Again, English Standard Version. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Where can we see God generically? In the things that have been made. You with me? That's generically. Okay, I see the sunset. I believe there's a creator, a divine artist that made the sunset. How do I get to be with him? I need the specifics of how to get to know Jesus, and I get that by revelation. Revelation, can you see the word reveal in that word? The whole Bible, all the books in this book are pointing toward Jesus. They are revealing Jesus. You with me? All right, remember, this means this. This means I ain't got a clue. All right, you can go to John 14 and 20. See that. We need the specifics of revelation, and the specifics are in this book. This book is God's self-revealed. I mean by that, God revealed it about himself to mankind. Anybody want to guess what that word mankind is in Hebrew? Adam. Good, we're getting there. We're learning Hebrew. All right, the Bible is God's self-revealed, revelation to mankind. It also tells us who we are and what we have done. And then it tells us how he's going to fix it. That's what the Bible does. That's what the specifics are. Yes, we need revelation. Yes, the sunset tells me there's some creator out there, some deity, somebody that made it. Then I get in the Bible and find out the specifics. In this class, I want to throw in a few things for no extra charge. So this is a no extra charge. All right? So I want to play with that word mankind, just a little one I've got it underlined. God reveals himself to mankind generically through nature. All right. The Hebrew, see, this is where I learned Hebrew. That Hebrew word for man is whatever that is, Adam. And it's also the generic term for mankind. But that Adam becomes Adam, and it's a proper name. And I think that's interesting, that when God created humans, when God created mankind, he created Adam, and they called him Adam. I think that's kind of neat. And again, that's no extra charge. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Let's find that. Go to it. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Guys, this is just introductory. First Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. But as it is written where? Let's look at this. As it is written, and then he quotes some stuff. What is Paul quoting from here? Hebrew Scripture. Watch for it. What is it? But as it is written, what no eye has seen or ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. What do I get for following this book toward Jesus? Well, it's something that no eye has seen, no eye has heard, no ear has heard, and no heart of man has imagined. Buddy, I can imagine some good stuff. What God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. How? That's how. God even searches the depth, or the Spirit even searches the depths of God. Okay. Something I'm not trying to do, as I said, is I'm not trying to prove the existence of God. That's a different study. I'm assuming that you believe in God. I'm not trying to prove the validity or the truth of the content of the Bible. I'm not trying to prove that. Another study. Okay. What I'm trying to show you is the revelation of God has been transmitted to us from its being spoken or written. And we'll talk a lot about that later. It's the Spirit guide of history, a joint effort. Therefore, it's a myth because mankind's involved. And it contains the good news of the story of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, wow, that's busy. Go to your handout, those nice color ones. And I'm not going to look at this whole chart tonight. I'm just going to show you a little. This is an overview right now of what's going on. So if you go over here to the top of that, you see up there at the top, somebody say, uh-huh. Okay, you got that. It's a bunch of, I'm going to use the word modern day translation. I do not like to use the word modern day because today is modern. What is it tomorrow? It's yesterday. But anyway, you got a bunch of modern day translations up there at the top. And down here at the bottom, it says original manuscripts. You see that? Uh-huh. Okay. So we're going to go from original manuscript, zip, all the way up to the top in 6 weeks or less. 3,500 years of history. 6 weeks or less. So that's an overview of what we're going to do. The whole series in one slide. And you see there's a bunch of other stuff in between and a bunch of funny looking colored lines drawn here and there. We're going to cover that too. Let me see what time it is. We're going to cover that too. But now here's another, you can put your handouts down, but bring them back next week. Bring your handouts back next week. Certificate. Right, now this one, just for fun, no extra charge. What did Jesus look like? What did he look like? Okay, I gave you that. Somebody said a Jew. Well, you know, they've got video. I'll tell this story. When I was a young boy growing up out in the country, we used to listen to AM radio. Anybody remember AM radio? One night I was listening to AM radio, and the station was in Mexico that I was listening to. It was called a Wildcat station. You never didn't know what you were liable to hear on the thing. One night I was listening to Wolfman Jack. Did anybody ever listen to Wolfman? I see some. Okay. Yes, you old people. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wolfman Jack, you never knew what he might say. So I'm driving along, headed toward Waterloo, Alabama, man, big city. And Wolfman Jack came on, and he had a commercial. He was advertising for sale autographed color photos of Jesus Christ. No kidding. Did any of y'all hear that commercial on Wolfman Jack's show? I actually ran into a guy one time that heard it. And I pulled over and stopped. I was going to write down their address. You know, I want a picture, color, autograph of Jesus Christ. Well, it didn't work. Somehow it didn't happen. But there's been movies about Jesus, and somehow this is my vision of Jesus, okay? You know, white guy, brown hair. Most of the time they got blue eyes. He's wearing contacts here to make them look brown. And you know, brown hair and straight hair. You see, they got a little wave, hairspray. This is my picture of Jesus Christ, a skinny white guy, Anglo-Saxon looking guy. Well, some people got tired of that. And you know this forensic stuff they can do with digging up skulls and figuring out what faces look like? Have y'all, you know, a little, you've heard of that, right? So some guys, this guy Richard, whatever his name is, from the University of Manchester, he went through all this process, and he wound up with a cast of the face of what a typical Galilean Semite, that's a Jew, might have looked like. They dug up a bunch of skulls from the time frame when Jesus was alive, dug up a bunch of skulls and went through all the science, and they wound up with a picture of what they thought Jesus or some of his contemporaries might have looked like. Now, this is all hypothetical, it's not for real, no more than this is a picture of Jesus. So here's what they came up with, okay? This is the forensic science, and they came up with this, isn't it? That's what they came up with. The typical Jew of Jesus' day might have looked like. And we're going to call this guy Moshe. Moshe, by the way, y'all know what the word Moshe means in Hebrew? I looked it up. It means Moses. Okay? Now you know two Hebrew words. So Moshe is going to be our generic Jewish scribe. He's going to be our generic Jewish shepherd. Or whenever we need a generic Jew, Moshe. Y'all got it? Got this visual image of the hypothetical, typical Jew from the time of Jesus, which doesn't exist, but anyway. I told you it was for free, no extra charge. Now, does anybody recognize that picture? Come on, Richard. Clyde, from you NASA boys. All right, here we are. Okay? The first time we had a picture of Earth from space. Look at the date, 1946. I was a whole year old. Okay? All right, anybody recognize that one? That one's more famous. What a beautiful place, man. Wow. Okay. Did you get the date? 1946. First time we saw the Earth. See that little curve? Guess what that picture did to the flat Earth people? Guess what that one did to the flat Earth people? They thought it was fake. So, why did I do this? This is not for free, really. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where did that come from? You can do an electronic search on your Bible app and find out that it comes from Genesis in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does that mean to you? What do you get out of that? Ever heard the word or phrase ex nihilo or nihilo, however it's spoken in Latin? I don't speak Latin much. It means from nothing. My modern engineer mind says God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. When was the beginning? Well, the right answer is a long time ago. If you read some books about the singularity, have you heard that word? All physics guys have heard that word. Singularity, that's also kind of when the Big Bang, as they call it, happened. That's the beginning. The way I think of it is engineer that worked in a nuclear plant. What I think of. Spherical earth. Do you think of that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Spherical earth. What would Moshe have thought? Our generic shepherd, Jesus. Earth and heaven. Isn't that what he would have thought? Moshe would have been a flat earther. Unless he read Job and had knew how to interpret it through our eyes. Moshe would have thought heaven and earth. Now my point here is not about science, and it's not about Moshe's heaven and earth and flat earth, and I'm not into that. What I want you to get out of this is Moshe would have thought differently than we do about stuff. They had different ideas than we do now about stuff. Moshe wouldn't have known about the singularity. When Moshe read in the beginning, Moshe would have thought a long time ago. Moshe wouldn't have gone counting generations in the Bible. They didn't think about that. They just memorized them. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat. Remember all those begats? So my point is, while we're talking about how we got the Bible, let the Bible and history say what it says the way Moshe and his buddies would have looked at it, if you can. It means changing your worldview, not changing it, but think through a different worldview. They were not modern. They were then. But you know what? They were modern then. I don't like the word modern. Okay. So, turn to your handout. I think you've got this one in there. Yep. We're going to hit a few of these tonight. I think it's handout number 2. Is that right? Is it handout 2? Yeah. So I've got a statement here that I wrote. The Bible is inspired by God himself and communicated to us through human agents, specially chosen by God. I'd like us to look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. I've got 14 through 17 up here. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. That's a good thing to do. Learn and firmly believe. Also a good thing to continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. Knowing from whom you learned it. Holy Spirit's running this show. God's telling him what to do. And how from the childhood you have been acquainted with these sacred writings. When you see that kind of language, what are the sacred writings? We've talked on this a little before. What are the sacred writings that Timothy is talking about here, or Paul is talking about? Hebrew Scriptures, Old Testament, okay? That's what he's talking about. Which are able to do what? Make you what? Wise to what? Salvation. Why do we need to learn something about this book? Salvation. Through faith in Christ Jesus. It all points to Him. All Scripture. Say it again. What's Scripture? It's the Old Testament. So far. Hebrew Scripture so far. That's going to change later, but we'll see. It is breathed out by who? God. And it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, all that stuff we don't like. And for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for what? I mean, I got to do something? It's not just book learning? The Bible's inspired by God Himself. We just saw that. And it's communicated through human agents, specially chosen by God. Go to Luke 1, 70. Luke 1, 70. Has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Who did the raising up? Where I've got the three dots. Who did the raising up here? Okay, you can look in your Bible. The safe source. God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of who? His holy prophets. From when? Long time ago. For what? That we should be saved from our enemies? Who's our enemy? I mean, okay, I know. Somebody doesn't like me. Some Islamic guy, maybe. Or somebody doesn't like me, fine. Who's this talking about? Who's our enemy? Really, no kidding. Who was you? Okay, I'll give you that. Anyone who's not the devil certainly fits that, right? And from the hand of all who hate us, well, that's certainly the devil. God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets. God let mankind get involved in transmitting to us the Bible. And guess what? It's a mess. And we have to figure it out. But the Spirit's got us to where He wants us, and He's got the Bible to us. Folks, we can get to heaven with the Bible, even with all the messes we have made in getting it here. We mean mankind. Say that again. Okay, let's see. Let me go to slide 21. All right. Anybody remember what Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says? Can anybody quote that? Nobody wants to try. Long ago, here we are, long ago, at many times and in many ways, we're going to talk about some of those ways, God spoke to our fathers, how? By the prophets. But in these last days has spoken, how? Who's the son? I got a capital S. That's a clue. Jesus, that's Sunday school answer. Okay. Whom he appointed heir of all things, and by or through whom he also created the world. Wow. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. In these last days, has spoken to us by his son. Wow. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, let's go to that one, turn your pages. No prophecy of Scripture. What Scripture? Hebrew Bible. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. We're going to get to that one a little later. God has an interpretation he wants us to have, and the Holy Spirit makes it, so we're going to have the interpretation available. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Well, where did they get the prophecy that they spoke? Well, let's see if the Bible tells us. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Who's in charge of getting us the Bible, folks? Is the message coming across to you? Who's in charge of getting us this word? The initials are H and S, Holy Spirit. Okay? So, I think we better stop here and start next week. Now remember, you got to bring your handouts back.